Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast. Big topic with the Texans is what happens with the quarterback position. Lovie Smith, anytime you ask about Davis Mills, going back to training camp, Davis Mills is his quarterback. That's been the staunch answer. And yesterday when he was asked, Lovie Smith, about possible changes coming, quarterback among them, here's what he had to say.
You know, as I said, the players come in tomorrow. So have I watched the video a few different times? Yeah, and made some decisions on how we're going to go forward. But you can probably understand if, like all changes and anything that we do from week to week, you kind of talk to the players first before we talk to you. So we're not pleased with where we are. And do we need to do some things differently? Yes, and we will.
Something's coming, Seth. Something is afoot. I don't know if it's Pep Hamilton getting demoted from offensive coordinator, if somebody else calls plays. I don't know. If it were, I don't know who that would be. Maybe Ben McDaniels, the wide receivers coach. He comes from a long line of play callers, long line being his brother, Josh. Or if it's Davis Mills. I asked you before what you think it is. You and I both think that it's going to be Kyle Allen replacing Davis Mills. If there had to be a change, what would you want it to be? Is that what you would want it to be? Would you want it to be a different quarterback, or would you rather see Davis Mills with somebody different pushing the buttons on Sundays?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think at this point, I think it's got to be a different quarterback. I think Pep Hamilton is more of a long-term scenario, and I don't know how many, like, the specific play calls right now aren't as much of an issue to me as the actual execution of play calls. And that goes beyond just Davis Mills. But as far as Davis Mills, some of the stuff that he's doing, where he's second-guessing himself on reads, where the ball's coming out too late, he's not throwing with anticipation. A change in offensive coordinator or a change in quarterback's coach, I don't think does that much right now. I think that's something that is either a Davis Mills issue, or he needs to be working with maybe Pep Hamilton as a quarterback's coach. And because Pep Hamilton's had some success with guys like Justin Herbert and Andrew Luck, those guys didn't have any issues being aggressive. And I'm not like saying Pep Hamilton's the reason those guys were good. It's just that this lack of assertiveness, decisiveness, aggressiveness by Davis Mills, that's not a hallmark of Pep Hamilton coached rookies. Andrew Luck was plenty of aggressive. Throw a boatload of his interceptions his first couple years. Justin Herbert, plenty aggressive in his rookie year, playing behind a bad offensive line. So I lean more towards this just being a character trait. And maybe over time he'll lose it, because this is what happens with nerdy guys sometimes, Sean. I'm not saying that as an insult. The guys who are more cerebral, they tend to overthink things. And sometimes that leads to just an unwillingness to pull the trigger, or an inability to kind of feel the game. They don't let the game come to them as well as some guys who are more instinctive. It's like the absolute opposite of a Brett Favre. So I think that's more of a Davis Mills thing, and Davis Mills at some point just needs some time to sit back and reflect on some of his mistakes he's made and how he can approach the game differently. It's probably not going to happen in the course of just one game of preparation before this next game.
Here was Lovie Smith when he was asked yesterday, what are you seeing that gives you confidence in Davis Mills?
I mean, that's a question I'm asked quite a bit, and I don't quite know how to answer it anymore, except for I think he's grown too since the early part. But it's pretty hard when you talk about how much someone has grown after yesterday. So what I'm going to say, yesterday, you just look at the game from the quarterback play. We didn't play as well as we needed to in the first half. Second half, I think we started, had a drive going down there, couldn't cash in on it. And that's kind of been our season so far. There's been some rough spots, but there's been some moments where we've shown a lot of promise, but we just hadn't quite made it to the promised land yet.
It's definitely been how it's been for the last month. Other than the Eagles game where the Texans actually came out and started fast in that game. They scored a touchdown in their opening drive. They had 14 points at halftime, which for the Texans is like a aerial circus. The other three games since week eight, Tennessee in week eight, they had 35 yards at halftime. Giants in week 10, they had 86 yards at halftime. And then the coup de grace in a bad way was this past Sunday against the Commanders, where they had literally had 5 yards at halftime of that game. Like, you just can't you can't win games that way.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, Lovey had mentioned a couple times now in the last couple days of press conferences that they're a running football team. You know, yesterday he said it just more openly, hey, we're a running football team. I think there's a difference between wanting to run the ball and being a team that can't pass the football. And if you look at this year, where how many sub 200-yard passing performances do you have before you realize, like, okay, you're not a running offense by choice. You're a running offense because that's your only option, and Damian Pierce is one of your only actually skilled offensive players other than Brandon Cooks, and I think a burgeoning Nico Collins. But, like, okay, Denver Broncos, 154 yards passing. Jacksonville Jaguars, 132 yards passing. Tennessee Titans, 118 yards passing. Philadelphia Eagles, 135 yards passing. Washington Commanders, 127 yards passing.
Oh,
and in many of those games, those passing yards are all in the fourth quarter after the game is out of hand. So you're looking at really, honestly, functionally sub 100-yard passing games. Like, when you, like, even if you're a running football team, you shouldn't be passing for less than 100 yards in the first three quarters. It's really, really bad. And, like, it's to sit and act like if you're a coach and you're not, you know, part of a tanking effort, an outright tanking effort. And I think this is the classic, hey, the GM this year is trying to reset the table in some ways, and you're not putting a playoff caliber team out there, but the coach is still trying to win football games. Like, you can't sit there and act like everything is fine and you've actually been competitive in games until yesterday when you can't pass for 100 yards in a football game. Like, a functional, like, if we take out the last one or two garbage drives in a lot of those games, we're looking at, like, you're counting passing yards by tens instead of hundreds. That's really, really bad.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible. Here's Brandon Cooks. This was Brandon Cooks following the game on Sunday, and you can sense the frustration. We know Brandon Cooks is frustrated. He went AWOL after the trade deadline for a couple of days and then missed the Eagles game because you don't practice, you don't play. Here was Brandon Cooks following the game on Sunday.
It seems like I'm coming up here saying the same thing every week. It's difficult because at the end of the day, we didn't score enough points to be able to help our team win. Same things over and over again, you know, from week one to now, that just quite frankly not getting fixed, and that's from all of us. And that, you know, no guy out there on the field is perfect and just not good enough. I'm not even close to good enough. Got to get back to work and, you know, listen to the coaches and see what we can do.
All right, so that was Brandon Cooks. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, Seth. Somebody asked me about Cooks. I can't remember who it was or where it was, but we got talking. And what I said to them was, you know what, I actually feel sorry for Brandon Cooks if he hadn't pulled his little stunt at the trade deadline.
Like, I know. Well, and, you know, he dropped that pass in the fourth quarter, yeah, too. He's had so many drops this year.
Yep.
That part of it's hard to ignore when a guy that, you know, he might have matched with that drop. He may have matched his career total for drops in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is frustrating. I don't think he's the same guy this year that he has been in the past. But, yeah, you'd be frustrated about a guy that had committed to the team and then, look, he lost his security blanket in Jack Easterby, and he's likely unhappy about that. But it's also just – it's not just a bad football team. It's a team that took a huge step back in the passing game.
Yep.
And, well, with the same quarterback, that part of it's got to be frustrating. You're right. Right now, I realized during that game that I'm over whatever emotions I had about Brandon Cooks. Right now, I would like him to look good over the remainder of the season just so the Texans can still get a nice price for him in the offseason.
Yeah, we don't need him to be a distressed asset. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need the Texans having to eat half of the $18 million next year just to unload him for a fourth-round pick or something like that. No, we need Brandon Cooks to put up seven games the rest of the year that look like what Brandon Cooks has looked like the other two seasons that he's been a Houston Texan. I think that's the most we can probably ask for. 0753 on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page.
Trailer Wheel and Frame.
A lot of you texting this in. Nightmare scenario, Kyle Allen wins two or three games and we miss out on a top QB prospect. Okay, I'll go through this again like I did in the first hour. I am not concerned about that because of the following. One, okay, there's seven games left. Three of those games, it doesn't matter if Kyle Allen or Davis Mills is starting, barring a miracle or a five turnover performance by the defense, something like that. They are not beating Miami this weekend. They are not beating Dallas at Dallas in a couple of weeks. They are not beating Kansas City here. Kansas City might hang 50 points on them. Those are three games that it makes no difference who's starting at quarterback. You got three division games also to close out the season. Tennessee's playing really good football. We'll see how those go. Jacksonville, you beat every year anyway, so I'm already chalking that one up as a win, especially because it's here. And then Cleveland is one of the other games, and you want to beat Cleveland. You want to beat Cleveland because of the Deshaun Watson situation. You want to beat Cleveland because you have their first-round pick, so you negatively impact that. I'll remind you, too, you got a two-game cushion right now. Like, some of these three-win teams are going to keep winning some games, so...
Yeah,
The Texans, make no mistake, the Texans are firmly in control of getting the number one pick in the draft, regardless of who's starting at quarterback for this team.
And honestly, as a rule, I don't fall in love with quarterback prospects. It just, the notion, you'll be a lot happier in life as a football fan if you let go of this notion that you got to get the number one overall quarterback taken. Because more times than not, as of late, it ends up being an extreme disappointment. So, and you're going to have to potentially, even if you draft that guy number one overall, you're likely still going to have another, you might have to take another swing at it, and you get him by trade or something else. Like the 49ers right now, they might end up making a Super Bowl push with Jimmy Garoppolo there after they traded away their entire draft and future for Trey Lance, who might actually suck. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
This is off the top of my head, so I hope I have this right, but I think I'm pretty good with the draft stuff as far as just pure data. This goes back to 2015, okay? 2015, and who was the number one pick in this year's? There's one quarterback taken in the first round.
Kenny Pickett was taken with 20. Right?
So these are number one overall pick quarterbacks, not first round, number one overall pick quarterbacks going back to 2015. And this hammers your point home that you're making here, okay?
Yeah.
2015, Jameis Winston. 2016, Jared Goff.
Super Bowl.
2018, Baker Mayfield.
Wait, why'd you skip Trubisky?
Trubisky, well, I'm talking about number one overall picks. Overall.
Oh, okay.
Overall.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just not. Trubisky was a two, I believe.
Yeah.
Because that's what Texan fans want. They want the tippy top pick in the draft. Yeah. Winston, Goff, Mayfield 2018. I think those are all three guys who, if you look back, you go, okay, those. I know Goff made a Super Bowl. They didn't make the Super Bowl because of Goff. They made it in spite of Goff.
Goff was traded away for
yeah. Kyler Murray, 2019. How's that going right now?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, 2020. Looking pretty good.
Bum appendix.
Bad appendix.
Jeff Luna would have said, like, uh-uh. Nope. Not signing him. Bad appendix.
We could agree Burrow looks like a successful pick. And then Trevor Lawrence, which has been a failure so far. So we're talking, since 2015, there have been six number one overall picks that were quarterbacks. And five of them, I would say three of them are for sure failed picks. 2015, 2016, 2018. Kyler Murray is trending that way because they've given him a second contract.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence is trending that way because he's still a quarterback and a big reason why the Jags are one of the worst teams in football.
But the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, okay, if you look at, okay, the number one overall, those guys are those guys. If you look at, in 2020, Joe Burrow goes number one overall. Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert go after them. picks 5 and 6.
Yep.
You know, Tagovailoa, in a lot of respects, is having an incredible year this year. Better than Joe Burrow, for sure. Justin Herbert, I think, is still a really good quarterback, but he's got his issues. So, like, it's you know, Daniel Jones goes after Kyler Murray, and I could throw those two in a sack together and beat it with a bat and just take whichever one is alive at the end of it. I don't care. Like, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, whatever. You're the same guy to me. I'll take Dwayne Haskins, who went 15 overall in that draft. You know, Josh Allen was the third quarterback taken in 2018. Josh Allen, that bum, went 7 overall. So, but thank God the Browns had tanked for Baker Mayfield. Thank God the Jets had tanked for Sam Darnold. What if the Jets had screwed up and won enough games to draft Josh Allen instead of Sam Darnold? What then? So I let it go and I release it. I think the value in tanking is not about quarterbacks. It's about getting pass rushers. It's about getting wide receivers. It's about getting studs like that, more so than it is the quarterback. The quarterback can come in multiple different ways. And maybe he comes as a number one overall pick, but he might also come via trade. He might also come via a Josh Allen pick or a Pat Mahomes at number 10. I mean, yeah, we mentioned Mitch Trubisky at number 2. Pat Mahomes went 10. 10.
Deshaun Watson went 12.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's an inexact science. Let me ask you this. If the Texans have the number one overall pick and Bryce Young looks like a quarterback after he goes through the process of the combine and the, you know, the all the pre-draft stuff, he looks like a guy who's worthy of being taken number one overall, what do you think the reaction will be if Nick Caserio makes a trade back from 1 so that somebody can move up and get Bryce Young? And it's
right.
and it's a good trade, yeah. You know, like a RG3 type of trade. How will people react?
Oh, people will be pissed. That won't be popular at all. And that's a big gamble. That's one of those ones where that's a job security gamble.
Yes.
Like you're actually putting it out there and saying, look, even if he doesn't regret it afterwards, he would know that he might lose his job for that. If Bryce Young ends up being an awesome quarterback, a lot of it boils down to, can Bryce Young stay healthy at his diminutive stature? He's got a Zach Wilson-esque stature. Is he cool with that?
Yeah.
But that's a decision lots of guys make all the time. The Texans taking Mario Williams instead of the obvious choice, which would have been Reggie Bush or Vince Young. Like, that was unpopular at the time. It was the right decision.
It was the right decision. I think, too, Seth, that, I mean, Nick will be heading into year 3 at that point. Bryce Young, drafting him, and if he fails, is probably the coup de grace also. You know what I mean? Like, whatever he decides to do with that first overall pick, if they have it, is probably the decision that determines which direction Nick Caserio's tenure as GM goes. If he drafts Bryce Young and Bryce Young is a bust, then there's a good chance that there's a different GM making the next pick at quarterback for the Texans. So either way,
yeah.
You know, whatever his convictions are, that's what he should do. All right, Payne and Pendergast
what
with
if,
you.
I'm hoping that Josh McDaniels ends up becoming available as an offensive coordinator. I think he's a good offensive coordinator and an incredibly bad head coach. And that would be a nice offensive coordinator to bring in with Casera. I wouldn't mind going Patriots South as long as it's Josh McDaniels as a coordinator and not a head coach.
I like that too. All right, 713-572-4610. That's the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll get Ross's thoughts on some of the pending QB churn that's about to take place, not just here, but it looks like in New York as well. Zach Wilson could be out as the starter for a team that's on the fringe of the playoff hunt right now. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Ross is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. 713-572-4610 is the phone number. We'll get to headlines in about 20 minutes or so. Joined right now by our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. We got a text to the show, Ross, from 5946 on the trailer wheel and frame text page. Ask Ross Tucker about running 2.5 miles to LAX with luggage after Sunday night's game through rough neighborhoods and underpasses. Did we almost lose Ross Tucker this weekend?
Well, first of all, I know we've talked about this before, but now every time I come on the show, Sean, and I hear your voice, it just makes me laugh.
Okay. Hey. We'll circle back to LAX in a second, Ross. But can I just tell you, and I know I texted this to you, but just to bring it on the air, that I ran into some listeners at a bar that my wife and I go to every weekend this weekend, and they had heard that you compared me to a plumber, that I sound like a kid, but I look like a plumber. This listener was an actual plumber who was a dashingly handsome young person, so I think he might have taken umbrage with your plumber stereotype.
Well, it just, I mean, you got to do more things. I know you already do, but everybody listening has got to meet Sean at some point, or at least look up pictures of him. Because the voice does not go with the face.
Thank you.
I mean, here's how. Okay, if you've never seen Sean, just go to the store and pick up some Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
All right. That's Now you're just getting into like the easy, oh, Houston, we have a problem. You know what, calling Sean Mr. Clean or Uncle Fester is the equivalent of saying, Houston, we have a problem. Like, you're just taking the lowest of low-hanging fruit and using it as a put-down. It's which I always reject those. You're not allowed to go there.
You know what's funny about that, Seth? That's how I feel when people say to me, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You got a face for radio.
I'll be like,
you know what? You know what, John? That's probably the 153rd time someone said that to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you still think it's funny. Like, I'm glad that was funny to you. I mean, but anyway, so you guys got to hear this story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I called the game Sunday night. Great game. Chargers and Chiefs, those teams are playing, I think it's fair to say, a different sport than the Houston Texans play. Watching that game Sunday night, not that I'm trying to hit the Texans with strays here, but it's just true. Game ends at, I don't know, like 8:25 Pacific. We're off the air at 8:40. My flight's at 10:15. LAX is 2.5 miles from SoFi. Get in the car. with my boss, Howie Denneroff, Westwood One, with my play-by-play guy, Tom McCarthy. We get out of the parking lot, turn left on this road, and did not move for 30 minutes.
Wow.
So I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on. But it's one of those weird things in life where we kept thinking, well, it'll open up in 30 seconds. Like you just keep thinking, well, and I am not a passive person. I am not the type of person that allows things to happen to me. I try to take control of situations. So I hop out of the car, and I'm like, I don't know how much longer this is going to go. I can't take it. And I know we got to go like three lights up to make a right on Century Boulevard. And when you go on Century Boulevard, it takes you straight to LAX. So my strategy was the further away I get from the congestion, the easier it'll be for me to get an Uber. It's downtown Los Angeles. Like, get an Uber and hop in the Uber and get to LAX and catch my flight. Well, I started running. I had my roller board. I'm wearing a button down and slacks. I have like dress shoes on. I got my roller board and I got my computer bag on top of the roller. People are laughing at me. They're in front of their houses and they're like, look at this guy. I can't say some of the words they were calling me as I'm running past them in like Inglewood, California, running past them to get on this Century Boulevard. And then I get on Century Boulevard. I keep hitting the Uber, guys. It won't connect me. I cannot get an Uber. I don't know if there's that many people after the game trying to get them. Hmm. So I would keep running. I would keep Ubering, keep running, keep Ubering. I finally decided to try to hitchhike. And that didn't go over very well. Also, probably not highly recommended in downtown Los Angeles.
People still hitchhike?
I don't think they do, but I was about to. I was desperate. I don't like missing. And here's the thing. I don't like missing flights.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever have before. But also, like, I have so much stuff to do back in Pennsylvania on a Monday morning. Like, I can't. I got to get back. So, kept trying to hitchhike. People would laugh, say, sorry, man, no. I had, like, these girls, they were like, no, can't do it. Like, they don't know who I am, right? And by the way, would you ever pick up a hitchhiker that's at 6'5", 250, running down the street with, like, his luggage?
Like, in travel gear, like, yeah. Looks like you're running away from an embezzlement charge.
To make a long story short, did I go under underpasses where there were a lot of people that was their domicile? That's where they resided? Yes, I did.
Yes.
I thought there was a couple times I might die, but it was okay.
Don't they have – do they not have the bicycle taxis?
No.
They don't have the bike cabs there? Yeah. Pedicabs, yeah.
I end up – I probably ran a mile and a half. Guys, I haven't been this sore since I played football. Dude. I never run, but to run on a hard surface with dress shoes, my knees, my butt, my hips. The end of the story is my boss ended up finally getting out of the traffic. He picked me up on the side of the road at a McDonald's.
You basically got in a workout.
The same car. I am drenched in sweat in my dress shirt. I get back in the car with my head between my legs. I have to call. It's 10 o'clock now. I'm going to miss the flight.
Yeah.
I have to call, and I get on an 11:15 flight that ends up being delayed an hour. So we left it like – so I end up having like an hour and a half to just hang out in the airport then. And it's my terrible, terrible story. And thank you for bringing it up.
Ross, I've got a friend who's like had a remarkable transformation in life. He used to be super type A, hard driving, just maniacal about stuff. And now he's almost the complete opposite. And he didn't do it by, you know, smoking a bunch of weed or like getting into Eastern philosophy or anything. He just said he started looking at things like missing flights or having to reschedule his stuff. He just looks at that as a tax to pay on a stress-free life. And like it's remarkable what it's changed from. So he just doesn't, if he's going to have to exert himself to that degree to make a flight, he just says like, I'll pay the tax. That's just, that's what happens. I'll figure it out tomorrow. And he's very happy. I feel like you might need to undergo that transformation.
Well, what I do need to realize is especially in that instance, getting on the 11:15 an hour later is not that big a difference.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I had trouble getting out there, guys. My flight was delayed like 2 hours getting out there, so I had to switch to another one, and I had a middle seat
Oof.
For 6 hours
Oof.
From Newark to Los Angeles.
Oh, that
I'm
sucks.
A big human being.
Yeah.
So
that really
so
sucks.
For I had a flight. My 10:15 was JetBlue, and I was going to be in like the extra leg room on the aisle. So I had to switch to Alaska Airlines again, and I had to be in the middle seat again. Another 6 hours, red eye. And it's just, I just didn't want that. So I think you're right, Seth. In that instance, when there is another flight that I could probably get on an hour later,
yeah.
I need to just say to myself, well, this sucks, but I'll be fine.
Plus, if you do work or sleep on the flight, honestly, for a guy your size, like there, you can justify the business expense that it is to actually have a comfortable seat where you can get work done. You know what it's like. You know what it's like trying to text or do work on your Google Docs on your phone while you're also trying to be polite with the two normal sized humans next to you. And God help you if you get another big guy next to you. It's really tough in that middle seat.
Well, you know what's so funny too? Anytime I'm in the aisle or window and there's a big guy that is in the middle seat, I look at him and I'll be like, really, dude? Like, really? And I was that guy this time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was that guy. Like, I was the middle guy that had, like, I was the guy in the middle seat.
All right, Ross, so let's get your take on a couple of things here. We've done a good travel segment. The Texans, Lovie Smith seems to have left the door open to a change at quarterback. If Davis Mills is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, is the right thing to do to swap him out right now to try to win a couple of games, or is the right thing to do to leave him in so you can go get Bryce Young after the season's over?
That's an interesting question. Because of the quarterback situation and because they have two high picks, I feel like they're going to be able to get a quarterback. And I am sort of intrigued to see what the offense would look like and what the offensive coordinator would look like if somebody else was at quarterback. So I think I wanted a large enough sample size to know what Davis Mills is. And I think we have that now. Now, I will say, like, you never know, right? Like, maybe he could switch every once in a while. Like, you know, you never know when a team's going to turn the corner. Like, you never know when a team or a player is going to click for them and they start really playing well. I guess what you have to ask yourself is, like, do you even want Davis Mills to play pretty well down the stretch? Like, do you even want to, like, be talked into, hey, maybe this is the guy? You
no.
probably don't.
No.
So I kind of want to see, like, Kyle Allen in there. And is it the exact same? Like, is the team still this bad? Or is the team better? And then you think, okay, well, maybe the offensive coordinator's not doing that bad of a job. Maybe it really was primarily Davis Mills. I mean, it just, what it does is, like any other scientific experiment, if you only change one variable, it allows you to have a better feel for the other elements in play.
What about Zach Wilson?
What about him?
Like, okay, you mentioned Zach Wilson. People want Zach Wilson to be benched, but I'm looking at Mike White and Joe Flacco. I don't know, like, where are the Jets right now and what are their choices or options? Because I get and understand how Zach Wilson might not be the guy, but I don't know how Joe Flacco comes in and has a miracle run.
Well, I think that's an interesting one, Seth. And you could probably speak to this maybe more than me, but, you know, Zach Wilson's not giving them a chance to win these games.
Mm-hmm.
The defense allowed 3 points. If Joe Flacco started both Patriots games, the Jets win both of them. I mean, they've lost 14 in a row to them. If Flacco started either one of them, they win. If Flacco started both, they win both, and they're in the playoffs. I think Sala's in a tough spot, where he wants Zach Wilson to be the guy and he wants to support him and whatever. And he wants him to get more experience and get to the other side of this thing and start to improve. But he's also trying to establish a culture and trust with the rest of the team and the leaders on the team. And I just think he's in a really tough spot because they know that not only is this guy not giving them the best chance to win, but now after the game, he's saying that, you know, he doesn't feel bad, doesn't feel like they let down the defense. Like, how could you possibly say that?
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joining us, brought to you by Driveway.com. Ross, where are they sending you this weekend? I feel like Thanksgiving weekend is probably a big travel weekend for you.
Oh, yeah. It's I've been calling it Novembergeddon because I've had at least two games every week and at least one's been on the West Coast. So, like, when I did the Texans Eagles and I flew out and did San Diego State against UNLV. So this week I'll be flying to Dallas tomorrow for Giants Cowboys on Thanksgiving for Westwood One. And Friday morning, first flight, Dallas to San Diego. Air Force San Diego State.
Ooh.
On Saturday night, and then it's gonna be really tight for me to make the red eye back to Philly. So, but it's too far to run. It's too far to try to run. So if I can't get there in the car, I'm not gonna get there Saturday night.
Dude.
But there's no other flight. If I don't get to 10:25, I gotta wait till the morning flight.
You're stuck.
And I don't wanna do the tax. I wanna try to sleep on the plane, on the red eye, and get back to Pennsylvania. I don't want to be – because the West Coast, then, you know, like, then I have a 6 o'clock flight. I land at, like, 3 p.m. Like, it ruins the whole day.
Yeah, that's a killer. I feel like Dallas is, for you, the press box cuisine aficionado, the Dallas is, like, Mecca for you. Is Dallas really good?
It's probably number one. It was very impressive last year for Thanksgiving, yes. You know, SoFi was really good Sunday night, really good. Huli Huli chicken and Hawaiian barbecue pork ribs. Obviously, Houston, I thought, was pretty impressive when I was out there. But Dallas does not mess around. I think they know I'm coming. You don't know how big of a, you know, how much of a deal they make about that or not. I know it's important to some of these people, but we'll see.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, brought to you by Driveway.com. Go to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars and Driveway's nationwide inventory. Ross, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds great to you guys.
All right, see ya. Ross Tucker joining us here on the show. All right.
You know what's weird about Zach Wilson? It's just when you – the weird just to see an NFL quarterback, starting quarterback, with a completion percentage of 55.6%.
Yes.
That just doesn't happen
That's
anymore.
That's an outlier these
That's
days.
That's some Joe Namath stuff back in the day. But, like, these days, it's just, man, it doesn't happen. It's so easy to not have a 55.6% completion
percentage. Well, especially in that offense, right? I mean, where they're – you know, it's schemed to get guys wide-ass open. It's crazy. All right, so that was Ross Tucker. We'll do some headlines, including we'll circle back to Lovie Smith. We've got an update on Derek Stingley Jr. from Lovie Smith as well. Headlines next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, big thanks to Ross Tucker joining us for his weekly visit. Nick Caserio, a reminder, joins us tomorrow. Tomorrow at this time, we will be in the midst of our conversation with Texans GM Nick Caserio, who joins us at 7:30 tomorrow, Wednesday, here on the show. Let's get to some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
I love you, Smith, yesterday with, I would say, about as close to what could constitute a promise of some changes without saying, I promise I'm changing things. Here was Lovie Smith when he was asked about any upcoming changes with the team, particularly at quarterback with Davis Mills.
You know, as I said, the players come in tomorrow. So have I watched the video a few different times? Yeah, and made some decisions on how we're going to go forward. But you can probably understand if, like all changes and anything that we do from week to week, you kind of talk to the players first before we talk to you. So we're not pleased with where we are. And do we need to do some things differently? Yes, and we will.
All right, so for what it's worth, I put it to the people. Lovie Smith seems to be leaving the door open to some imminent change with the Texans. I put up a poll, asked people to predict. What do you think it is? Not what do you want it to be. What do you think it will be if there is a change? 24.8% thinks Mills will be benched. 14.5% think Pep Hamilton will be demoted. The vast majority, Seth, over 60%, say probably nothing at all. This is probably same old Texans going into Sunday against Miami.
And I think at least part of that is that's kind of in Lovey's demeanor, not just on Sunday, but in general. I think with his defense, he has a reputation of staying kind of static and not making a whole lot of changes. I feel that's undeserved in a lot of respects. Now, the changes that he's made on defense haven't really done a whole lot to turn it into a good defense, but they do mix it up a lot from week to week and game to game. And they, you know, he does experiment with blitzing and playing man, I think, more than he gets credit for. So there are other teams in the league that play more zone defense than Lovie Smith, but largely the attitude is kind of like, well, if you just keep sawing wood, at some point it'll start working out. And I think that right now with Davis Mills, regardless of how you feel about tanking or draft position or anything else, I think for Davis Mills, he's at a point where if he's going to improve as a player, he might need a little bit of a break. I think he's getting to the point where he's too far into his head. He's overly thinking things. You can almost sense him hesitating before he throws the ball, and then he throws the ball, and he's so nervous about throwing interceptions that he ends up throwing interceptions. He's had fewer than 200. They haven't passed for 300 yards yet this season. And the half the games they've played, they've thrown for less than 200 yards. It's been a really dismal offensive performance, and it's getting worse. So I think at this point, just if all you're worried about is whether you can actually develop Davis Mills, it's time for him to sit out a little bit.
How hard does Davis Mills, playing the way he's playing right now, make it to evaluate other things about the offense? You know, people make a lot about, well, the protection's not great. And, you know, like last year they didn't have a running back and Nico Collins is hurt. Sure does make it hard to evaluate Davis Mills. I would flip that on its head, Seth. How hard does it make the way that Davis Mills is playing? How hard does that make it to evaluate Nico Collins, the young tight ends, Pierce fully, you know, the offensive line, all those things.
And honestly, I would say the offensive line as well, just because I think with Kyle Allen, hopefully, ideally, what you could have when he gets in there is a guy that can handle a little bit more and is seen a little bit more when it comes to either setting protections, checking into different plays, all of those kinds of things that are harder to pick up on, you know, without knowing what the game plan is. Kyle Allen might be able to put that interior offensive line in better positions or at least disguise them a little bit better, getting rid of the football better. It doesn't excuse the interior offensive line, but there are things you can do as a quarterback to make it not look as bad. You know, like quarterback sack statistics are generally a quarterback issue. Like quarterbacks who are good at getting rid of the football can play behind bad offensive lines and not get sacked a whole lot. Davis Mills is not good at not getting sacked. He's not good at completing footballs or throwing touchdowns. He's not good at a whole lot of stuff. So I think that the biggest guy that I would be worried about right now offensively in terms of can you help his development without Davis Mills being in there is Dameon Pierce. Because for one, if there's some kind of a passing threat, then that makes things a little bit easier for Dameon Pierce. But the other guy that's got to help out Dameon Pierce is Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton, and that's simply by getting the ball to Eno Benjamin, getting the ball to Agumba Wale, you know, preferably not to Rex Burkhead as much, but just actually keeping Dameon. Like, I don't care about tanking, but I also know for damn sure Dameon Pierce doesn't need to get 25 carries in a game again for the rest of the season.
No, to go win three games or whatever the max this team can get on the ledger. No, absolutely not. Well, the Broncos cut Melvin Gordon yesterday. Texans sit at the front of the waiver pickup line. Would you pick up Melvin Gordon and give him 8 carries a game just to take some heat off Dameon Pierce?
Would I what?
Would you pick up Melvin Gordon off of waivers to relieve Dameon Pierce of some of the duties, or just roll with Eno Benjamin right now?
No, I'd rather roll with Eno Benjamin. Yeah. I don't need like Melvin Gordon to come in and then soak up more, because they do have like the Texans aren't in great cap position. So you pick up Melvin Gordon, and I don't know what his base salary is.
His base salary is only $2 million this year. So you'd get you'd get half of $2 million. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
The Texans actually have it. Yeah, and I like, so he can get injured and then still just suck up more cap space.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I'm with you.
As far as the 300 yards, somebody fact checked me on the 300 yards. Has he had over 300 yards this year? Oh, he had the Raiders. They had 302 yards passing. Apologies. The team had less than 300 yards passing because of sacks in that game.
I think he did. I think he did in the
Giants. I forgot about the.
I think he did in the Giants game too, because he threw for like 280 in the second half of the Giants game. Remember, he was all.
Yeah. Like, so yeah. And that's another one where like the 300 yard passing games, the majority of that has come like in.
Yeah.
If not even, not garbage time, but easier time in the fourth quarter, the relevant passing has been just bunk. And then the team passing has been less than 300 yards.
Yep. With sacks and everything else, that gets factored in. Here was Lovie Smith's update on Derek Stingley Jr. and his hamstring injury.
You know, he has a hamstring injury. So, with a hamstring injury, the different degrees of hamstring injuries that I've had and seen, he has a mild hamstring injury. What does that mean? I don't really know what it means either. But it kept him out of the game yesterday. I don't know exactly when he'll be back. Hopefully sooner than later.
If there were ever a game to bring Derek Stingley Jr. back, if you're trying to win, this would be the one. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And honestly, Seth, like, this would be a game. My guess is this would be a game where Lovie would just zone like crazy and try to not let those guys get behind you, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But if ever there were a game where I'd want to see Derek Stingley Jr. come in and man either one of these guys up, just for fun, this would be the game.
Put some pressure on them.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and see. This is going to test your safeties, too. And, you know, these young safeties have struggled to play the safety position. Jalen Petrie has done some good things, but he's just, you know, he wasn't really used as a true safety in college, and now he's trying to learn it on the fly in the NFL. What the Dolphins do a really good job of is they're just so fast that I like Mike McDaniel. I think he's a really bright guy, but I think people are trying a little too hard to make it look like having two incredibly fast wide receivers is some stroke of genius. Like, yeah, if those guys get really deep downfield, it's impossible to cover them both. If you put safeties in binds, especially when those guys are 30 yards downfield before Tua Tagovailoa has even hit the back foot in his drop yet, it makes it really, really hard on your secondary. The thing that I was encouraged by last week was I actually thought the pass rush was pretty good for the most part, for most of the game. Having Malik Collins back and Okoronkwo was showing up in the backfield more. We might start to see some semblance of a respectable pass defense in some respects. I think the red zone pass defense has been better than expected and better than most other parts of the team all year long. And a lot of that's just because the defensive backs do a pretty good job once they get backed up against the wall.
All right, Monday Night Football last night, it was in Mexico City, and the San Francisco 49ers laid a whooping on the Arizona Cardinals. No Kyler Murray in this game. He's still out with a hamstring injury. So it was Colt McCoy. But the story of this game was Jimmy Garoppolo. 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions, really good night statistically. And it does get me thinking, Seth, like when it comes to the 49ers, and the 49ers, by the way, 6-4 now on the season, they lead the NFC West. So they would be the three seed if the season ended today. Jimmy Garoppolo is not supposed to be their starting quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo, in July and August, it was thought like, okay, what team is he going to be playing on? Not the 49ers. You know, he was going to get traded, and then Trey Lance got injured, and they couldn't move Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance gets injured, and all of a sudden it's the Jimmy Garoppolo show again, and he's been good this year. He's been very solid. They're 6-4, and it's going to be fascinating to see what they do moving forward if Jimmy Garoppolo is able to take them on another deep playoff run. The two full seasons he's been able to stay healthy, he's taken them to the Super Bowl, and he's taken them to the NFC title game, and certainly in this NFC, the Niners are a dangerous team. We don't know what the Eagles are. The Eagles are, you know, the Eagles are 9-1, but they almost lost to the Colts. I think the Vikings are a very phony 8-2 football team. So who knows? The 49ers with that defense may be able to make a little bit of a run, which would then make the Trey Lance trade one of the most ridiculous trades in the history of football.
Yes.
He traded three first-round picks to move up and take Trey Lance back in 2021. Is kind of wild to think about right now.
And that is why if the 49ers win the Super Bowl, then John Lynch should simultaneously win the Executive of the Year but also be fired.
On the dais.
Wasting the futures. Yes, yes. It is Garoppolo is kind of like the perfect example for exactly how hard it is to figure out what you – how hard it is to figure out exactly what you have in a quarterback, but also B, like how much should you pin it all on a quarterback? Like, really, whether it's on – and the 49ers are weirdly the perfect example for this, because whether it's Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, Jimmy Garoppolo, okay, somehow the guy that gets you to the Super Bowl also is the guy that's not good enough to win you the Super Bowl, and that's, I guess, the biggest sin on earth. and then you go to guys who aren't them, and don't even have any success at all. It's just such a crapshoot at times. And that with Garoppolo, I think with Garoppolo, if I were a GM, the biggest thing that would concern me is just his injury history and not knowing whether or not he's going to be durable from year to year.
Yep.
Because that seems to be a big part of just what the hell you have in him.
If they had just rolled with Garoppolo, because keep in mind, he was under contract. Like he is still playing under the same long-term extension that he signed. Yeah. When he was first traded to the 49ers back in 2017. So it's not as though they re-upped him at some point or what. Like, he is still on the same contract. If they had just rolled with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, and I know, you know, there's a little bit of a butterfly effect with certain things, but if they had just hung with the 12th pick in the 2021 draft, that was where their pick was before they started moving around to go get Trey Lance. Micah Parsons was the 12th pick in the draft. Like, Micah Parsons eventually was the guy who was selected with the pick that was originally the 49ers pick.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if the 49ers, I mean, that defense is a great defense already right now. Can you imagine if they just add Micah Parsons to that defense and don't start trying to fart around and get Trey Lance in the draft? It's
and
crazy.
That's where, and again, that's where I try not to get too wrapped up in tanking for the number one overall pick, because the Micah Parsons of the world, the Andre Johnsons of the world, you know, the Mario Williams of the world. These are the players that a lot of times end up having a huge impact on the success of your team that aren't quarterbacks.
Yep.
And that are a little bit more predictable. There's always a huge element of risk. But I also think depending on how much you protect your downside, I always feel like the downside of getting a position player with a top five pick is that they usually oftentimes at least still end up being productive NFL players, where with a quarterback, it feels more boom or bust. Like, he's either the guy or you're looking for another one. It's just the nature of the position. And, that's the hard part of it. It's just a crapshoot with quarterbacks.
You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station. We have a couple of texts along those lines. I'm talking about quarterbacks and top of the draft. You and I were going through earlier in the show the recent history of quarterbacks taken with the first overall pick, which is what the Texans are on track to get right now, and I think what a lot of people who listen to this show want them to get is the first overall pick. 9956 on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Anytime you get the first overall pick, you should do your damnedest to trade out of it, and this is a quarterback-rich draft. They need to get as much as they possibly can for that pick, because not only does a quarterback make you more competitive if they are good, more good players make it competitive, and that's what the Texans need more than anything.
The problem with that is the number one overall pick is less tradable than you might assume, yep. And for multiple reasons. I think usually if if there is a slam dunk number one quarterback, then it tends to be pretty damn valuable, especially in years where, you know, if a team with the capital to get that quarterback is there, and the team, usually the team that has a number one overall pick is also in the market for a quarterback too. So like when it matches up between trading out and not trading out, it's not as valuable as you think it is. So that doesn't mean that it can't be valuable. It's just you shouldn't expect to get a lot more for the number one overall pick than people historically have gotten for the second or third or fourth picks.
And if the quarterback is that much of a slam dunk and it's a QB needy team that has a first overall pick, they generally end up taking that quarterback.
Yeah. Bryce Young will not be a slam dunk consensus generational, got to take this guy, simply because of his body size. Mm-hmm. I think everything else aside, there's going to be a lot of talent evaluators who say, look, I just don't know, man. Like, if you can't point to a precedent for that quarterback, people get really nervous about it. And Bryce Young has a very slight frame. It's not his height, it's just the slightness of his frame compared to your typical NFL quarterback.
CJ Stroud is still the guy that gets slotted at the top of most of the drafts that I see, the mock drafts that I see. From Ohio State, because of that exact reason, Seth, I guess, because he's got more traditional dimensions for a quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see, though, how many QB needy teams there are. Like, how many teams are going into the draft thinking, we need to take a quarterback? I think it could be more this year than we've seen in the past. Like, even Seattle right now would be a playoff team. Hell, the Giants would be a playoff team. They're the 6th seed and the 7th seed in the NFC. Can I see a scenario where the Giants are like, hey, we made it here in spite of Daniel Jones, not because of Daniel Jones, and they take a quarterback somewhere in the back end of the first round? Absolutely, I could. Is Seattle going to get married to Geno Smith all of a sudden? I could see them taking a quarterback. I'm just going straight down the list. Is Washington in the market for a quarterback? Absolutely. Atlanta? Sure. Detroit? For sure. You know, you keep going. New Orleans. This is just the NFC that I'm talking about, too. Carolina. Chicago, probably not. Chicago, I think, probably rolls with Justin Fields for another year. But that's just the NFC, and I just rattled off 5 teams. So I think there's going to be a lot of teams. You know, if Nick wants to use that top pick on a quarterback, great. If not, there may be some teams that are looking to move up and do something. We'll see.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.